Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 196, recorded on January 16th, 2014. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. And by the tone of your voice, I'm guessing you probably are too.
I'm doing pretty good. It's much better here in my new place of living than it was in my old. It's 31 degrees there, and it's 90 degrees here, so I'm doing pretty well. According to the thermostat,
really harsh.
It's not bad, and it's going to cool off pretty soon anyway, like it does. I'm in San Luis Obispo.
Well, good luck with that, because that's really hot.
The marine layer
it'll
should
cool
be there
off.
Right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, Adam knows.
And you have humidity.
No.
There's no humidity?
No humidity.
It's dry.
Yep.
No, come to Colorado. I'll show you dry.
That's all right. Adam Christensen's also here from the MacCast, and he knows what it's like here, because he used to live here, too. Hey, Adam.
Yep, back in the day.
Yep. Do all the levels sound good? I obviously moved the board.
The gear.
Yeah. Sound good, everyone?
Studio West, I'm calling it.
Yeah, Studio West.
That's
yep.
Right, live from Studio West.
It's We Have Communicators. So, Jeff, you went to CES. That was last week. And
yes.
I guess you probably had more excitement going out there than you did even at the show, being that the weather was insane. But maybe you found some cool things there that you'd like to share with us that was that's related to iOS.
You know, there was...
Cases.
If you don't have anything, that's fine. But...
We're going to do an hour and a half of cases now. Thanks, Michael.
I don't want to hear about cases. Let's just be clear on that one.
All right. So I learned some interesting news about the world of styluses.
Okay. Yeah. You like those.
I'm all about my styluses. So I went and paid a visit to Adonit and talked to them about the Jot script, which is... Their stylus that looks more like a ballpoint pen has a 1.9 millimeter tip on it.
Mm-hmm.
And what came out of that discussion was that using the flat discs as the touch surface or the contact surface on an iPad, they don't see that as a real natural feeling way of interacting with the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been looking at what they're doing with the script as the way of the future. So they're actually working on taking all of their styluses and redesigning them so that they will have the smaller tip and will hopefully have a more natural feel when you're writing or drawing.
Now, the reason they have the way it works right now with the, I guess it's like the Jot Flip and the Jot Pro, they have the little disc, is because of the resolution of the touch sensor?
Right. The resolution is 4 millimeters, and they're doing a 1.9 millimeter tip. So they've figured out some technical magic that allows them to do a smaller tip, and it has to have a Bluetooth connection so that it can get the data back to your iPad so it knows exactly where you're touching on the screen. But it works really well.
It does work well.
Yeah.
I would imagine if they're going
to
switch their...
Software has to support it. Sorry.
Okay, so
it works in all apps.
Oh.
But you have enhanced features in apps that have been designed to support the pen specifically.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I got to play with one of these.
That was a big surprise to me.
So the magic is happening in the hardware on the Bluetooth side, maybe then?
Yes,
and
magic
so it's
is happening
tweaking
in the
data it's sending back to. Must be somehow tweaking the data that's being sent back to the iPad.
That would be my assumption, because it's doing its magic in the stylus.
And now the Jot script is that's the one that's Evernote, right?
Yes, the one they teamed up with Evernote for. So you get the widest number of features in Evernote's apps, like Penultimate.
Do you have a Jot script?
I do.
What do you think?
I like it, but it's also a little weird because it's so loud for me. Because it's a hard tip, and when I'm writing, it's making clickety-clackety sounds on the iPad glass.
Ooh.
So using it when I'm alone, it seems loud. Using it when I'm any place where there's a reasonable level of ambient noise, it's really not noticeable. So,
yeah. And it could be used as a stylus with any app then, right? You're saying? So it doesn't have to be used with just Evernote and Penultimate and...
Correct.
Oh.
So, but palm rejection only works in the Evernote apps.
Right. Because I've thought about getting one of these because I do like taking notes on my iPad. I'm not a huge fan of Penultimate. I still like NoteShelf as my handwritten note-taking app.
Then just use NoteShelf. That's fine.
Yeah, it has its own palm rejection. It'd be nice if it was supported, though. And that probably, you know, unless it's going to be... Because are they no longer, like, making that API available?
As far as I know, other developers, app developers, can add in script support.
Jot script support. It's not exclusive.
It's like not exclusive.
Evernote doesn't have an exclusive on that technology.
Right.
They were just first.
They were first. They teamed up with the Evernote guys. And really, when you're using the stylus, the only way or the only real indicators that it's a it's linked with Evernote in any way is that they put the Evernote green color as an accent color near the battery cap.
So it's just a little indicator light.
No, that's not even the indicator light. The indicator light is down closer to the tip. It's just totally a cosmetic green band.
That's
put on there.
Okay.
But right now they only have the Evernote edition, but you're saying they're planning to start releasing their own styluses with this tip.
Yes, and what they're planning on doing is revamping all of their styluses, so they're using this tip.
Right, the Jot Touch and the Jot Pro and the Jot Mini will all get the new tip.
Right, and since it has to have the little computer in it to do the magic, any stylus that is not powered, it won't have the tip.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So, like the Jot Mini, and it would just be the Jot Touch.
Oh, that's right. So it would be like the Jot Touch. And I'm assuming that they have other styluses planned because the way they were talking, it sounded like there was more than just the Jot Touch and the Jot script that were going to have this.
Hmm.
So maybe, because they're talking about all their products, maybe they're planning on ditching any styluses that are not Bluetooth enabled. Yeah.
Well, or maybe, I mean, you could have the tip and just not have it do the Bluetooth magic-y stuff, right? I mean, what would happen if you didn't have that? Because are they just more talking about...
It wouldn't work because it's only 1.9 millimeters.
Oh, so it can't even register... The iPad can't even register a tip smaller than... normally wouldn't even register a point that small?
Correct. Anything below 4 millimeters, the screen just simply can't register.
I wonder what kind of mojo magic they're doing.
Yeah, there's some kind of magic in there. I wonder if it's an Apple API. You'd imagine it would have to be if it's
well,
working everywhere.
That's why I thought it relied on some sort of also software support. So it's amazing to me that, I mean... Yeah, I don't know how you take something if there's this physical limitation of the screen, the touch, you know, layer of the screen, then how do you...
Don't know.
That part is magic.
Magnets. How do they work?
How do they work? That's right.
Anything else cool that you saw at CES or...
The You remember the remote control paper airplanes that Adam has talked about?
Uh-huh.
Before?
Yeah, because I have one on order.
Okay, the new
Thank
one.
Thank goodness.
That's the one that I have.
That was really neat to see. So that was fun. The Anki cars,
mm-hmm.
those are just flat out kick-ass.
Oh, don't tell me that.
I mean, they're horrible. They're so stupid.
I had, lame, I was they're in awesome. The Apple you need to store buy them. Yesterday, and every time I've been in there, I've had that huge box in my hands, and I'm like, I can't spend this money. I can't spend this money. I want to spend this money. I want to spend this money.
You should spend that money, Adam. You really need to. You really need to.
Oh. But then I was reading some of the reviews, and they were like, if you look at some of the people who are not happy with them, they're like, oh, you know, they kind of don't, they're not that reliable. I'm afraid it's going to be one of those purchases where it's going to be cool for the first day and a half, and then I'm going to be like, okay, well, that was cool.
Well, you know what? That's the good thing about return policies is that you have like 15 or 30 days.
I would keep it anyway. I just love that kind of technology. I just have it just to have the technology.
Okay, get it then. There
well, and what was so cool about seeing them at CES is that they've done a software update so that the cars can do more.
Okay.
So it's not like you buy the package and then you don't have anything that changes in it, and it's just like this static product that nothing else ever happens with.
Sure.
They're adding like new software-based weapons to the cars. Like one of the things they were doing, they added this new thing where you can have your car spin 180, and now it's driving backwards, and it can fire at the cars behind it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Oh. And it has a tractor beam, so you can come up behind
a
car.
I'm gonna have one in a week.
Yeah, you probably are. They can now do EM pulses and knock the power out from the cars around them. And
neat.
It doesn't help me that my wife saw them and she's like, I want those.
Oh, well, get them. If the wife is cool with it, just get them.
I need to like do repairs to my own car. I don't need $200 toy cars.
Nah, those Volvos. What do you have?
I also am dying to get the new Lego Mindstorms too. So.
No, get the Anki thing.
I really want to get that. Yeah.
There's just too much cool technology to buy.
Yeah. Hey, you know what I saw from CES? I didn't go, but I saw this neat little cassette adapter that's Bluetooth from Ion, which I just think is neat. I don't know if it's too useful because...
You gotta have a cassette player in your car, and who has that?
Oh, no. That's funny because I was trying to figure out what kind of cassettes you're talking about, and I just realized you meant cassette tape players in your car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for a lot of people, many, many, many people who have older cars, not like super crazy old, but just reasonably older cars, they have tape decks in their cars still, and really no easy way to hook up an iPhone with any decent audio quality other than, I mean, an FM transmitters.
I had that for the longest time.
So yeah, you get the cassette adapter and you just get a little wire and you plug it in and that works really well. But this one from Ion is actually Bluetooth.
Yeah. How much does it cost?
I don't know. Probably too much. Let me see here.
If it's more than $100, that was the dilemma that I had because I had a cassette.
You get a new head unit.
Yeah. You can just get a head unit with an aux in for installed probably for $100.
Yeah, I don't see a price on here.
And you'll have a better quality connection in my mind. Well, maybe not. I guess Bluetooth is digital.
Yeah, Bluetooth is, I would say it's
pure digital.
Probably lossless.
But how reliable? But then you're still converting it back to analog through the tape, right?
Yeah. Yes. I never had good experiences with the cassette tape.
They don't sound that great.
No, they sound like ass.
Yeah, well, so does FM.
Yeah, but I mean, that's why I'm saying, like, the aux in, if it's more than $80 to $100, you can get a head unit with aux in.
That's what my recommendation to people is go and get yourself a decent, like, no frills head unit.
Yeah.
And you can find them on eBay or what have you. It doesn't need to be brand new or anything. I mean, Lord knows it doesn't need to be brand new with all the blinking lights and all that stuff. You just got to have a plug in the back and yeah. That's what I did with my car.
Even in the front. I mean...
Sure. Yeah, wherever the plug is.
That's all I did for mine. I just plug it in through the headphone jack, whatever. It sounds great.
Yep.
and it's reliable and doesn't cut out and doesn't lose its connection. And
yeah, but this thing was cool. I just thought it was
wire.
Cool. I don't know if it's too practical.
That's the downside, right? You got a wire.
Wires. I mean, yeah. as long as you still need to charge using wires, as long as it's one wire, then it's not a huge deal because my head unit will charge and do the audio at the same time. So it's not a big deal for me, you know, but if I already had like wireless charging in my car and the only thing I had to plug in was the audio to my phone, then I would probably be more swayed by the idea of using some kind of wireless technology for the audio.
Yeah. I'm just chuckling because I get emails all the time like, my wireless never works. I hate my wireless. It's always, I'm having trouble with my wireless. It's like, well, you could go wired. Oh, wires. Guess what? Wires, unless the wire physically fails, which doesn't happen all that frequently, they always work.
Yeah.
You're talking about Wi-Fi?
Faster. Huh?
Talking about Wi-Fi, probably.
Yeah, I'm talking about Wi-Fi. Yeah, anything Wi-Fi or even Bluetooth. My Bluetooth keyboard, the thing always, you know, disconnects or my whatever, what have you. You know, it's a hassle. Wireless is a hassle. I just had this with my wife. We went and I just put her Mac on power line because it just kept dropping the Wi-Fi. And I spent like 2 months trying to troubleshoot the thing and never got it fixed. And I'm just like, forget it. We're wiring it.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm pretty happy with the place I'm at now. The wireless signal works really great. There aren't a lot of other signals around us. In my last place, all the walls were super thick plaster, and the signal didn't go through those too well. And I was really close to wiring it, but, you know.
Did you guys see the guy that figured out that you could hardwire your iPad to Ethernet?
No. How does that work?
You use the USB adapter and then you plug in a USB Ethernet dongle.
Oh boy.
And plug in a Ethernet cable.
Oh, no, that is awesome.
That's really cool.
That is cool. I bet that was something they secretly designed into it. They made sure it was in there for the iPad.
Yeah. So you can just get Apple's little Ethernet to
that's so great. Well, it looks like they actually sell Ethernet adapters for 30-pin. I just did a Google search for iPad.
Yeah, so what you do
iPad
is you do
Ethernet
Lightning.
Adapter.
They have an Ethernet to USB 3 or 2 adapter. So what you do is you get your Lightning to USB adapter, and then you get the USB to Ethernet adapter.
Yeah,
hook those two together, plug it into your iPad, plug the Ethernet in, and you're wired.
That's awesome.
That is crazy cool. I don't know when I would use that.
No, it's totally not useful.
No.
The whole point of the iPad is that you're mobile.
Well, yes and no. Here's the thing, though. If you're doing something where, like, you're using it for live music, let's say, that would just make me crazy. Because there are a lot of people who use the iPads these days for various things with live music. But it would drive me crazy wondering if the signal's going to drop out, if there's going to be interference. And if you can hardwire your iPad to a little personal LAN that you have up on stage, then
better. I mean, if you're going to AirPlay, you know, high def video from some source, you know, maybe you want the video coming into the iPad though to be, you know, rock solid, and you don't want to have to worry about, you know, streaming to the iPad and then streaming back out to the TV, both on wireless.
Sure. There are real uses. People just need to come up with them.
It's amazed
a cool
that you could
solution,
do it.
Just looking for all kinds of problems to solve. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, me too. So, yeah. Where were we? Okay.
CES.
Yeah. Do we have any more to talk about with CES? Because I'm bored with it.
Home automation stuff. Was there any cool home automation stuff? Like, did you go over and look at, I mean, is Belkin have anything new going on? Just, you know, with their whole Wemo stuff?
I saw a crock pot,
I actually really liked the Wemo stuff that they were showing off. They have a new wall outlet thing that's coming out, which lets you do a lot more than the one that's already available. They have a new wall switch with LED light package that they're coming out with, and they also have a thing out where it's a box that you can build the wiring into it for whatever it is that you want to control. So you can take nearly anything and make it into a Wemo compatible device. Oh. And they're looking at it for, they designed it because there's a lot of people that wanted to use Wemo with outdoors stuff. Like they wanted to have Wemo control over their entire sprinkler system or, you know, something like that. Uh-huh. And so they built this box that's weatherproof that you can do the wiring in yourself to wire it into whatever you want. And then it has a big antenna, I mean like a 3-inch antenna sticking off the top of it. So it's going to get better reception so it can be farther away from your base station.
I have a friend in my iOS users group, and they're developing an open source web controlled power strip that you can build yourself using a Raspberry. I think they're using a Raspberry Pi as the controller, and you 3D print your case, and then they show you how to do all the wiring with, you know, off the shelf stuff that you can get at Home Depot or your local home improvement store. You can build
your own thing.
And then they have all the software and stuff, and they have an app on iOS that you can download to then control the thing you built yourself.
That's really cool. Belkin is also doing deals now or team ups with other companies to build Wemo technology into their products. So like you can already get a Wemo enabled Mr. Coffee maker. And they were also showing off a crock pot that had Wemo built into it. And then they were showing some other products like air conditioners and space heaters, like not like the little ones that go into your desk, but ones that are designed to heat a whole room that will be coming out later this year that have Wemo technology built into them. So it was really cool seeing what they were doing.
Yeah. And for those people who are interested, I probably should mention this. So my friend's company is called Newbound. Newbound.com, and it's their web-enabled power strip, and the app is called Power Strip Universal. So if you want to roll your own web-controlled power strip, do that.
That's really cool.
Or iOS-controlled even, because they have the app.
Huh. Cool. I'll throw that in the show notes. And, so was there anything else, or moving on?
I think we should move on because
that sounds good.
Because there was a lot of meh at CES this year. I think next year will be a lot more exciting because, excuse me, by then Apple will have released their wearable technology and everyone will know what to copy.
Wait, I want to know if you got to actually fly. Were they flying the iPhone-controlled paper airplane thing?
They were flying it around their space, but I didn't get to fly it.
But they were flying it around.
Yeah.
I have this feeling it's got to be really hard to control, but they make it look so easy.
I'm assuming that's why they wouldn't let anyone that was coming into the booth control it.
I mean, it's a paper airplane that you fold yourself and then you put this little power unit on and now you're flying it around remote controlled with your iPhone.
Yeah, you got a lot of variables there.
So I'm on the Kickstarter, so I should get one sometime this year. So awesome. I'll give you guys a review when it comes, but...
Yes.
Looking so forward to it. And I think with they were trying to earn like 50,000 on their Kickstarter. They're over a million. They just went over
a
million.
Holy cow. What?
Yeah.
I need to come up with a crazy idea.
And so now they're going to add dogfight capabilities. So if you have two, you'll be able to dogfight them. So if one gets within range, I think they're going to use low energy Bluetooth or something. And it'll like kill the power to the other one and cause it to crash.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
That's really cool.
So, here's some interesting stuff regarding the carriers. AT&T, earlier this month, came out with a new, I don't know, plan or option, some kind of service to, if you want to switch to AT&T from T-Mobile, which is kind of funny, they'll give you $450 in credits for switching from T-Mobile. I believe you have to trade in your device. Is that right? You have to give them your device?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're going to turn around and resell it.
Well, of course they will.
Now, their money back.
The stupid thing about this is, why would you need to offer some kind of incentive to people who are on T-Mobile? Because they don't have...
They don't have an early termination fee thing?
Yeah.
Well, maybe existing customers do.
Maybe.
Right?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, that could be.
Existing customers.
For a little while.
People who are on a payment plan with their device, but they can just... If they want to get off of T-Mobile, they just give their device back. Or they sell
they
it
do?
And pay off. Yeah. I'm pretty certain.
No, I thought you still had to pay... I thought you still had to buy out the device, but it was just whatever your cost was left on it, right?
I thought you could give
it back.
You
don't have to buy out a contract, but you have to buy out just the hardware, right?
Yeah, you have to pay off your phone.
Okay. Okay.
Because you're still on a payment plan, right? You're just paying $20 extra a month for however many months.
Okay.
So if you're...
Well, at the same time, you could probably, with most iPhones, you could probably, you will very easily make back the money selling it on eBay.
You know, here's a novel idea. If one of these providers, well, I guess you still have to have a decent network because it didn't work for Sprint, so maybe I'm totally wrong. But like, if they would just stop gouging us on data, like if somebody would come out with like a reasonable, real data plan for customers, they would have all the customers, I would think.
Hmm.
But I guess the problem is network, right?
Cause yeah, network is the issue.
Yeah, you need to have a good network to go with it.
But I mean, if it's T-Mobile or Verizon or AT&T, I mean, T-Mobile's getting better from what I understand.
They're
still not that great in my area, I don't think. But
I think they have LTE where I am, which is better than AT&T.
I think T-Mobile is getting more and more attractive to a lot of people.
Certainly to me. That's what I'm planning to go with when I get my new iPhone next or this coming year.
Yeah, I've been looking at them too. I'm just so freaking fed up with AT&T.
Yeah. I'm not sure it's going to be any cheaper though, honestly. I don't think it will be. But they'll
if it's not going to be cheaper, then what's the point?
They'll have LTE here and
not being on contract.
I won't be on a contract. And they'll let me tether and I have unlimited data. So
AT&T is tethering on all their family share plans.
Yeah, but you can't get unlimited.
So yeah, exactly my point. To my earlier point, if AT&T would bring back unlimited at a reasonable rate, and by reasonable I'm talking about, you know, a price that a lot of people wouldn't want to pay, but even if it was $50.
If it was $50 and they included tethering, because you know it's going to be $50 and then you have to pay another 20.
Well, this is the stupid part. That's exactly my point. If it was $50 with tethering unlimited, they would have all the customers.
They do pretty
End
well.
End of story.
They do pretty well.
People wouldn't even think. So. But these guys won't do it because they know their networks can't handle it.
Yeah.
Because they didn't plan for this. And people are just using more and more data, and these guys are screwed, and they know it. They don't know what to do.
Yep. Well, did you hear about them coming up with this plan for certain service providers or websites or what have you to sponsor the user's data?
Yeah.
Which, like, that... Oh, that sounds awesome.
What could possibly go wrong there?
Yeah, right?
Well, and I didn't have time. Maybe, Jeff, you might know more about this because I think you follow this stuff more closely. What's going on with the whole net neutrality thing this week? Because
okay,
that seems scary to me.
Yeah, it does.
Well, yeah, it has the potential to be scary. So the deal is the federal court said that the way that the FCC was talking about regulating net neutrality...
Or implementing it,
they couldn't do it. It was a technicality because they were classifying the carriers as one thing, but then regulating them in a different way. And the court said, you can't do that.
Okay.
You don't get to play it both ways. So, and so what they also said was, yes, you actually do have authority to regulate the internet service providers. So, go ahead and figure out how to do that, but do it within parameters that have already been established for you, and don't try and do this contradictory thing where you classify them as one thing, but then regulate them as a different thing.
So by they have authority to regulate them, essentially under the net neutrality, they would not regulate them. They would do regulation to the extent of making sure that everything is treated.
They can fairly regulate net neutrality. It's just the way they were arguing that they could.
Okay.
The federal court said, no, you can't do it that way.
So we still have net neutrality. It's just...
No, we don't.
No,
right,
we don't.
Now we have nothing.
Oh, so, we have nothing. So,
the FCC
it has to go
has
back
to go back and okay. start over and figure out a way to present their argument in such a fashion that it doesn't contradict the way they're saying that they want to control the ISPs and the carriers.
So right now it's basically invalidated and we're going to have to kind of go through it all again.
Yes.
Huh, sounds good.
The dog's going to freak out now.
Okay. Hi, Spot.
Dog's worried about net neutrality.
It's a forward-thinking dog.
Knocked on my door. I live in this neighborhood where people come to the door all the time. You don't get that, Jeff, right?
I
don't know what it is about my neighborhood. At least once a week, some random person comes to the door and tries to sell us something, market us something.
Get one of those signs. Get a no soliciting sign. Be one of those people.
I'm going to get a shotgun and that'll work.
Do they allow guns in California?
Oh, are you kidding? Yes.
Okay.
I'm not a gun person, though, just so people know. And I'm not going to get political about it. I'm not political about it either. You can have a gun if you want. I'm not a gun person.
Okay, fair enough. So anyway, on the flip side, we were talking about AT&T and their thing. T-Mobe, they're offering $350 per line to switch from AT&T, which I think is pretty cool. And I would probably do that if I... because I guess you have to trade in your device to do that. You have to give... you have to give them your device in order to do that. So then you'd have to be locked into another thing. So for me, that wouldn't really work out because I'm expecting to buy the new iPhone at the end of this year.
Or later, the 6?
Later this year. Yeah, the 6.
Did you skip the 5S?
Yep. Yeah, I'm on the 5. I'm on the 0.0 release or whatever you want to call that.
The non-S.
The non-S. I'm on the non-S tip.
You're on the singular plan, not the plural.
Right. And so it's good that we're talking about that because it's surprising, you know, January 1st rolls around and suddenly we have rumors about this thing that's going to happen in 8 months, 8 to 10 probably, right? But I guess stuff has to ramp up and some of these things could have credibility and we've seen that happen in the previous years. So that's why we're going to talk about it. And the first thing is the camera. It seems as though, according to reports from the China Post, that they're going to stick to 8 megapixels. However, improving the optics with improved image stabilization and low light performance, which honestly, that sounds good to me. I don't really have an issue with the amount of megapixels I have. I would prefer more image stabilization. Definitely more low light capability. Sounds good to me. And I think they've done that in the past, right? The 5 and the 4, it's been they haven't really upped the megapixels so much in those units as they have with the plural units.
Well, they didn't even up the megapixels in the 5S. It's still 8.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Okay. Wow. All right. But they did put that fingerprint sensor in there.
They did put the fingerprint sensor in there.
And they're saying that the iPhone 6 fingerprint sensor production is set to gear up in Q2. That's according to Digitimes. So, you know, take that as it is.
So did you hear, I gotta bring up, since we brought up that, did you hear what Samsung's all hot about?
No.
For their biometric in their phones?
What's that?
Retinal scans.
Oh yeah.
No.
Are you
iris
serious?
Scans.
Are you serious?
Or did they really say retina scans?
Or iris scans. Sorry. Okay. It doesn't matter. You're gonna hold your phone to your eye to unlock your phone.
And boy, you need to have a crazy high resolution camera to be able to accurately read someone's iris.
This is gonna be awesome while you're driving.
Oh,
hang on, I have to answer my phone.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. Well, you're not supposed to be using your phone while you drive anyway.
Exactly. That's what that would be the argument, right? But let's talk about reality and mythology.
Yeah, that's where rule number one, don't get caught, comes into play, right?
That's right. But no, yeah, it's a horrible idea.
It's terrible. It's another one of these technologies that's like, because we can. I mean, the technology is cool, right? It's totally like sci-fi. It's Blade Runner. It's, you know, every science fiction movie. Yes, of course, as nerds, we want eyeball scanning, you know, iris scanning as a thing, right, in our technology, because it's awesome. But the use case for a phone, it's completely stupid. Fingerprint sensor makes a lot of sense because that's naturally how you hold, you know, you're naturally holding your device. It's right. easy to put your thumb on the sensor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just classic Samsung just doing stuff because they can. It's the, I have a touchscreen that I don't have to touch all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, it's a really bad idea. It's, and I just have this image of these people that can't get into their Samsung phones because they can't get the angle right, the lighting's wrong, it's reflecting out of their eye improperly, or they never test it with people that wear prescription lenses or contacts.
Oh, yeah.
And so now it doesn't work with them. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Or let alone you get punched at the bar and now you can't open your phone.
Bingo. Oh,
yeah.
Because you got your eyes all red. No, I don't know. I don't know how that technology
works. Yeah, what happens
works,
when
until they
if you have
stuff
really
up.
Bad allergies?
Yeah.
I don't know. Does that affect if it's a retina scan versus a retinal scan?
Well, if it's a retina...
an iris scan versus a retina scan, I mean? Is that the difference?
Well, the problem is if you're doing a retina scan, you have to be able to image through
like the back
pupil
of the eye, right?
To the back of the eye. And so you have to go through all of the matter that makes up... you have to go through all the eyeball juice and everything.
Eyeball right. juice, yeah.
And so doing retina scans is not nearly as easy as one
iris.
Thing.
Yeah, I would imagine it would be an iris scan. But so if your eye gets, you know, damaged, like if you have inflammation in your eye or you have some, would that screw up a retina scan or iris scan? Excuse me, I keep saying the wrong term.
I suppose it could, because if it's something that makes your eye inflame and swell in some way, it's going to distort your iris. Mm. So, and I'm assuming that you need to make sure your eyes have, they don't pass a maximum point of dilation, because then there's not enough of the iris to be seen to be able to get a reading off of.
Yeah, it just seems like a bad technology, at least for a smartphone.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, here's some good technology for a smartphone. A bigger screen. That's what everybody's expecting for the iPhone 6. They're also expecting that in the iPad Pro.
And I bet it has NFC as well.
Well, hang on.
It will have a bigger screen. I know they're going to a bigger
screen. They're
going
to do a bigger screen. And you know what? Jeff isn't going to want a bigger screen, so he's not going to get the one with the bigger screen.
Yeah, I can barely manage my iPhone 5S.
Oh, my phone's too big. I have to have pockets.
If I can't operate my phone completely one-handed, then it's a failure as a phone for me.
Jeff, is the issue that you wear girl pants and you can't fit your phone into your pockets?
I don't wear pants.
Oh, right.
He doesn't have pockets.
So you need to get some kind of like sling or something, right?
He needs underwear pockets.
Underpants pockets.
He probably has that already.
I don't, but I know what I'm going to start working on now.
Well, or you could yeah, that's true. Just work on that. Don't try and come up with a solution around it. Just come up with underwear pockets.
Or I could do what this one company was doing at CES, which...
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. It's okay, so it's like a shoulder holster, like cops wear and detectives wear.
Yeah, yeah.
Designed to hold your smartphone and some other tech gear. And I'm like, I see this thing, and I'm like, oh, man, this is clearly designed by a bunch of guys that just have this adventure fetish fantasy thing, and they just want to be able to wear their shoulder holster with their cool gun all the time, and... It was just ridiculous.
It would be cool if they also sold pistol grip case.
Oh,
so you like
yeah.
literally can just
so
like,
it looks like a gun.
Yeah, just like the handle sticking out, and then on the end is your iPhone. So you just like can just reach in there, pull it out real quick, and make a phone call.
And do it like in a crowded subway. People see you do this, and the transit police shoot you.
I was going to say DMV, but that sounds good too.
Yeah, yet as someone that wore a shoulder holster for a long time, I can't imagine why you would want to do it just for fun.
Because Because Jeff, for exactly the reason you just said, because you had to and they don't know any better.
Yep.
And they want to do it
totally
for fun.
Totally nailed it right there.
They just want to do it for fun.
But you know what would work for you in that form factor, Jeff, is a stylus bandolier.
There you go.
Oh my God, I want a stylus bandolier right now.
Would you be able to fit all of your styli in a single bandolier?
It would have to be a really big bandolier. I want a stylus bandolier. People, listeners, I love you. Make a stylus bandolier happen for me, please.
There's probably one on Etsy right now.
There's got to be.
Okay,
Definitely an Etsy project, if nothing else.
Or that can be your Kickstarter project, Jeff.
For all of this, who are stylists.
The awesome thing is the first hit is from Etsy. Okay, so what I found is not one that I can wear, but it's for pens and pencils. It goes around a book or around your iPad. A start, but no, yeah, you're talking about where a Chewbacca is.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there's a dart bandolier. There's a hip flask bandolier.
Don't surf the web, Jeff. You're breaking up.
Yeah, you're killing your internets.
Okay, I'm stopping. But people, there's a crayon bandolier.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah,
so we need that for stylists.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
I'm going to look like a total dork walking around with it, but I'll do it.
Good. There will be pictures, I'm sure.
Of course there will.
Okay, good. All right, so where are we in this stuff here? Apple's U.S. smartphone usage share is continuing to climb. That's good. So they're at 40% and Samsung's at 24.3. Or no, that was August. So
yeah, 49, I thought it was.
41.2 and Samsung's 26. And then the... That was, I guess that is usage. And then there's another one from ComScore. I guess these are both from ComScore. One is usage and one is just units sold, I think. So the ComScore, the units or the usage is 41 and Samsung is, or Android, I should say, is at 51. So, but hey, you know what? That's not bad. I remember having a discussion with somebody last year about how terrible it is, how greatly Android is overtaking iOS. And honestly, I think right now it's at a pretty healthy medium.
It depends on what you're looking at, though. I mean, if you're in China, it's a totally different story.
Sure.
Right.
If you're outside the US, it's a totally different story. And it doesn't, the end of the day, again, it doesn't really matter much. I mean... There are so many Android devices now because Android is open and it's such a wide range of devices that of course they're going to be bigger because it's on everything.
Yeah, it's on fridges.
It's just going to be more and more.
Well, that's the thing. You got to wonder if it really matters too much. I mean, if you look back in history at where we were in like 2001, where the Mac was just barely chugging along and coming back, and you know PCs were the dominant, and a little bit before that and a little bit after that, it was tough going. But you know where we were in like 2007 to 2010, just a few years later, and where we are now it's great. And honestly, I think that as long as the OS continues to be competent, I don't think people who enjoy the Apple way of doing things should really worry about Apple going anywhere.
Well, yeah, and the usage number, I'm beginning to realize too, is also thrown way off for a lot of reasons. So even Apple saying, well, we've got 80% usage, you know, like we see more web surfing happening on iOS devices or more online purchases happening on iOS devices than Android. Well, freaking of course, because guess what? If I am in the market for a super cheap smartphone, I'm probably not getting a $80 a month data plan. I might not be getting any data plan, or if I'm getting a data plan, I'm getting 100 megabytes or 200 meg, you know, whatever the lowest data plan they'll let me have is. So of course I'm not going to be surfing the web, right? Because I can't, because I don't have data, because I'm buying a cheap phone, because I don't have money to support that kind of thing.
Now, I also wonder how many people that are buying the phone based solely on the price are people that may not be tech savvy enough to be comfortable surfing the internet on their phone.
Yeah. I mean, guess what they're doing? They're making phone calls.
Yeah,
on their phone.
Yeah, their phone. Their cell phones with pretty screens.
telephones,
which we look at and go, well, that's weird, but guess what, it's a phone, that's what it's supposed to do.
That's true.
What do I use my phone for least? Making phone calls.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I occasionally do a FaceTime.
So who's the weird one?
Yeah, who is the weird one? We don't know.
It's not us.
It's not,
I'm sure of that.
Definitely not the guy wearing the stylus bandolier and no pants.
God bless America.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the photo?
I can only imagine, but I really need the photo to fully get it, though.
Do you really want that photo?
I do and I don't. But, you know, we'll wait till it happens. So, speaking of America and America's sport, which is football, this is kind of cool. Even though I don't really watch sports. Every year I end up in a situation where I have some family over Super Bowl day and they're all like, hey, why can't we watch the game on your thing? You don't have cable. You're a crazy person. I still don't have cable, but now Fox will allow people to stream the Super Bowl for free. And that's pretty cool.
Even if you don't have cable?
I believe so.
They're not going to do that stuff that they do on every channel on Apple TV where if you don't subscribe to the channel, you don't get the content.
Yeah, well, thankfully,
you gotta, like, authorize.
Yeah, I know people who have cable accounts and they give me their passwords, and so that's what the rest of us do, I think.
Really?
I think there are a lot of people who are cable cutters who, like, for those sorts of things, they just trade passwords. A lot of
I'm a cable cutter. I'm not into sports, and apparently I'm an anomaly because it doesn't.
I never thought to do that either.
To trade a password with somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. But I honestly, the NFC playoff games, those are going to be paywalls. But I guess the full Super Bowl, I mean, considering they've got like multi-million dollar ads playing during the Super Bowl that you're going to see, you know, even though you're watching it for free, it's not a huge deal. But whether or not I'm going to watch the game, I'll probably not at all. But it's there for people who want it, and that's cool.
That just amazes me. I'm shocked.
Yeah. It'll be via their iOS app, so I assume you can throw it up on the Apple TV.
Probably not. Then no AirPlay.
You gotta buy an Ethernet dongle to make it work.
The $99.99 in-app purchase.
Yep. So Jeff has to get out of here soon, so we should wrap her up.
Wrap it up.
iDevice picks. What's yours, Jeff?
I've been kind of torn. I'm going to go with one that I think will help people with online storage.
Okay.
Box. So Box is a service that's been around for a while, just like Dropbox. The thing is, they just released new iOS apps. If you download them, they give you 50 free gigs of storage for life.
Whoa.
Yeah.
A lot of storage.
Yeah.
So the Box app is your pick.
So the Box app is my pick so that you can get your 50 gigs of free storage.
What if you already have an account?
Then they bump you up to 50 gigs. And I know this because I tested it today to see what would happen.
Sweet.
I downloaded the new app, and the next thing you know, I've got an email saying I've been bumped up to 50 gigs.
Cool. That sounds useful.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Okay. Adam, what's your pick?
I've been picking this everywhere, but I don't think I've picked this here, so I'm going to pick it here. It is a iOS card game called Dead Man's Draw. It's pirate-themed, and it's a sort of press-your-luck kind of game. So the way it works is there's 10 different suits of cards numbered 2 through 7. And what you do is you draw a card, and then you can choose to or not choose to draw another card. And you keep drawing until you say you want to take those cards, right? And so if I have a 2 and a 4 and a 7 out and they're all different suits, then I can collect those. And I've just added, 13 points to my score, right? Did I do that right? 2, 4, and 7. testing my math skills.
Yeah.
But if you press your luck and you draw a card and it's of the same suit, you bust and you lose those cards. So that's the basic gameplay. And so there's a deck of 50 cards and you keep drawing back and forth and you try and score the most points by collecting the most cards. But the thing is each one of the suits then has special abilities. So for example, one of the suits is a cannon. So if you draw a cannon, you get to blow up a card out of your opponent's hand, basically throw it to the discard pile. There's a sword, so that's like a swashbuckler. If you do that, you actually get to steal a card from them and put it into your own set of cards that you're drawing from. There's a map. There's a bunch of different suits and stuff like that. It is a really, really fun game. You can do pass and play, or you can play against the computer. And then there's additional things. They have these things called traits and special abilities. So there's all these things that kind of change the basic rules and sort of spice it up as you're going along. And I have become totally addicted to it. And they tried to do a printed version because this would actually work really well as a printed card game. They did a Kickstarter and they didn't get funded. So what the company did, Stardock is the developer, they actually made the card set available as a PDF. So you can actually download and print out your own set of cards. So I actually got the PDF and ordered up a set of cards from an online on-demand printing service. And they just came today or yesterday.
Oh, cool.
So I actually have a full set of printed cards. They kind of open sourced the printed version, which I think is just really cool. So there is in-app purchase in there, but it's not very invasive. And they don't, you don't have to do in-app purchase to play. It's more the kind of thing where if you do the in-app purchase, you can advance through the game quicker, a little bit quicker. But certainly not required, and it's not like Agware. It's not like constantly in your face. I mean, they'll throw up at the end of the match, hey, here's the next power up that you're going to get. You're this far away. Do you want to buy it? Kind of thing. But other than that, it's just really fun game, and it's free. So, Dead Man's Draw from Stardock.
Cool. My pick this week is Convert by Tap Tap Tap, and this one's been around for a long time, but it was only recently updated. It stagnated for maybe a year or two even. So it came out just before Retina, I believe. And when I first got my iPhone 5, and for quite a while, not only did it not have Retina, but it didn't have the support for the iPhone 5, so it was just kind of squished. So it's since been updated. It's Retina, and it is tall for the iPhone 5. It looks much better. And the reason I like this thing, so it's a conversion app, conversion utility with built-in calculations and stuff like that. And the reason I like it more than any other is just because the UI not only is very, very beautiful. It's also extremely functional and very easy to use, very quick at converting things back and forth. It has a really, my favorite thing is that it has a little magnification interface trick that it does as you're switching between the units from which you'd like to convert. So check it out. It's $2. It's my favorite conversion utility of them all. So Convert by Tap Tap Tap. And with that, you can find our show notes in the picks at wehavecommunicators.com. You can review the show in iTunes, tell a friend. Of course, send us feedback at wehavecommunicators.com. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamut's at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com. At jgamut on Twitter, zazzle.com/jgamut if you want to get a We Have Communicators mug or anything else that he has put his artwork on. Thanks for being here,
including
Jeff.
Including underpants.
Oh, there are underpants.
Yes.
I guess there's a chicken with a robot, right?
There's chicken, there's robot. The one with the chicken, I put it on the ass. And the reason I did is, guess what? Chicken butt.
Okay, there you go. And Adam Christensen's at the Matcast, matcast.com, at Matcast on Twitter, member.matcast.com is the member version of the show.
Yep.
And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter, at GetAppler on Twitter is Appler's Twitter. And of course, check out Appler. It's GetAppler.com, GetAppler.com, to share your apps with your friends and your family and all that cool stuff. So. Yeah. With that, we'll see you next time when We Have Communicators.
An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. And an internet communicator. How are we going to communicate this? A stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Yuck. Yuck. No.